This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back with author Mel Schwartz talking about The Possibility Principle, fascinating book using quantum physics to change your mind and your life. So you write that most of our struggles come from living with the wrong game plan. Can we talk about game plan a bit, and what's the right game plan?
So our thinking was very much informed by 17th century thinkers like Sir Isaac Newton and the French philosopher Descartes. So Newton taught us that if we had enough information, we might reasonably predict the future. That became known as determinism. As I was discussing earlier, when our thoughts become addicted to seeking certainty, when we deliberate what we're going to do and what the consequences will be, that's determinism. Too much determinism leaves us playing. It's kind of like we're living life as though it's a chess match. We're sitting back and deliberating the next move, will it be a mistake or not? This leads to people having fear of making decisions and obsessing over those decisions, and it's the core of anxiety. Another theme that we were taught is that the world, or reality, was like a giant machine. And that giant machine, it was called a machine-like universe, was comprised of separate, discrete parts, like objects. We became the separate objects in Newton's machine. And in that worldview, in that paradigm, there was no connection between us, other than through cause and effect. That worldview leads to what I call the epidemic of depression we have, because if we're just cogs in the machine, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no connectivity, and it just leaves people inclined to compete, to move toward individualism at the extreme, because there's no connection. The new worldview coming from quantum physics is a worldview of relationship, of relatedness, of interconnectivity, where we're all in it together, and that means there is meaning and purpose, because what I do and what I say affects everything. I'm not just a cog in the machine. So we've been living in the wrong game plan, which I think has led to failed relationships, anxiety, depression, violence, greed, a whole host of things.
Right. Why is it so hard for us to change, to drop the competition?
Well, it's hard to, firstly, the belief it's hard to change is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you believe it, it is. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to Newton's machine-like universe. We were separate cogs in a machine. Everything is inert, and everything's fixed, and it's not moving unless force is applied. All right? Mm-hmm. So under that worldview, change is hard. In the new worldview, everything in the universe is in immutable flow and movement. Nothing is static, nothing is fixed, nothing is inert. So from the new worldview, change isn't hard. But on a more personal level, if I keep having the same old thoughts, then change will be hard. You see, in a nanosecond in between your thoughts, you exist in the pure state of possibility. But if you keep having the same old thoughts, you won't change. In my book, I explain to the reader how we can break through and develop new thinking, which opens the door to change.
So, Mel, this is so exciting. Help me write a new script. Where do I start?
Ask yourself what your core beliefs are about yourself that are problematic. Write them down. Mm-hmm. And then ask yourself, how did I come to these beliefs? Probably you learned them about yourself in childhood. It was either a teacher or friends or parents. Now ask yourself, how do I know it's true? You probably don't know it's true. So writing a new script is to look at the old beliefs and the ensuing thoughts and think to yourself, doesn't matter if they're true or not. It's not how I want to live my life. So you develop a willful intention where you say, I am writing a new script. I've done that many times in my life. I call those defining moments. In a given moment, you choose to have a defining moment and you say, I'm heading in a new direction right now, no looking back.
Wow. So what does vulnerability have to do with all this?
As a culture, we're taught to avoid vulnerability, to act strong. Well, acting strong isn't strong, it's weak, because it's acting. You see, if I can embrace my vulnerability, and by vulnerability I mean my self-doubts, my insecurities, the things I don't feel so good about, if I can embrace it and not hide it from you, that means I'm developing authentic self-esteem, because I'm not worried what you will think of me or how you may judge me. My primary relationship is in being true to myself. If I can embrace my vulnerability, that makes me powerful. It may mean, I hope you like me, but if you don't, that's your choice. But this is who I am. The embrace of vulnerability permits you to develop confidence and break through your insecurities, whereas hiding your self-doubt and your insecurity so others can't see it leaves you trapped with it.
Yeah. So you work with couples, you're a marriage counselor. How long does it take from going from the anxiety, the depression, the upset, to bringing them through to a common, compassionate theme where they can be back together as one, as we are all one?
Well, it's a good question, but there is no answer to it. It's a process. Some individuals I work with and some couples I work with, if they're really motivated and eager to break through, to come out of their story, so to speak, then the progress can be pretty quick. It doesn't have to be slow and gradual. And perhaps after 5 or 8 sessions, they would say they're making a lot of progress. Sorry. Other people work more slowly. Ultimately, your ability to change is really dependent upon your conviction to do so. I'm simply the vessel, the guide. I have a lot to share and teach, but I need somebody's strong desire that they want to change. You know, people ask, can people change? Well, of course. That's what my career is devoted to. Mm-hmm. But I can't help someone change if they don't want to change.
And getting them to really listen to one another and be present is the start point?
Well, yes. I develop communication strategies, which are probably altogether different. We don't speak in couples work. I have the individuals not speak to each other objectively. You can't make objective statements like you are and so on. Mm-hmm. But we have to speak subjectively in the first person. So if I say, I feel or I think, or if I say in an adversarial relationship, if you say to your partner, you know, when you talk that way to me, I really feel devalued and disrespected. If you speak from how you feel, someone can't say to you, you're wrong, because feelings aren't right or wrong. But if you say, you are disrespectful, that conversation's going nowhere, because they'll say, no, I'm not. Don't speak objectively. Mm-hmm. Speak in the first person and speak subjectively.
You also wrote the book, The Art of Intimacy. Was that about quantum physics as well?
Well, I wrote that book many years ago, and it was my first inklings into a quantum perspective. The Art of Intimacy was a primer on relationships, and as my thinking work evolved over the years, it just grew into the possibility principle.
Mm. You write in the possibility principle, you wrote, in a nanosecond before our next thought, we exist in a state of pure potential. Can you explain that?
Sure. Quantum physics teaches us that reality is uncertain. So uncertainty suggests that before the next moment, all things are possible. So I borrowed that metaphorically and thought, so in the nanosecond before my next thought, I too am in a state of pure potential. My goal is to be able to slow down my thought and see them so I can intervene with new thinking, and that's how I can access my potential.
Mm-hmm. And what's your technique called the wave collapse, and how did your clients break free from their pasts? Can you explain that a little?
Sure. In quantum physics, light has a dual capacity. Light exists either as a wave or as a particle. In quantum theory, the wave represents pure potential, what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you observe the light literally collapses. The potential collapses, and it becomes a particle, a fixed thing. I thought, metaphorically speaking, the same thing happens to us in life. We We come into life all full of potential. Our personalities aren't determined yet. Our life experiences, we don't know who will be. But due to things that happen often in childhood, they may be subtle or they may be traumatic. We experience a wave collapse. Our identity starts to get confined and limited. Those refer to the beliefs I was speaking to earlier around what your core beliefs about yourself. These are due to wave collapses. Sometimes it's as simple as a sentence. I worked with a woman whose mother told her when she was 7 years old, her mother said to her, "My pregnancy wasn't planned with you. You were an accident." That was a profound wave collapse. This woman, 40 years later, was still struggling with the fact that she wasn't wanted and she wasn't lovable. It was leading to a divorce in her life. Once we can see these wave collapses, these experiences that they confined us and constrained us, we can then reimagine life without the confining wave collapse. And that leads toward what I had called a defining moment. In a defining moment, I see the old pattern, I choose to break free, I align myself with new thinking, and there it is.
5% rule. How do we get past the right versus wrong argument in our brains?
Ordinarily, when you're in an argument, you're going to be trying to refute what the other person is saying and prove you're right and they're wrong. Even if there's a small percentage of what the other person's saying that you could agree with, you ignore that typically. I say we need to do just the opposite. Find a small percentage, I'm just calling it 5%, that you can agree with. Forget the 95% you don't agree with just for the moment. Confirm them. Validate the 5% you just heard. Now, you know what that does? The other person surprisingly feels heard and understood. Now, when they feel heard and understood, they're in the position to take in what you have to say. We're breaking out of the ping pong match of right versus wrong.
So that right versus wrong is why we really struggle in relationships. So coming out of it and listening is certainly helpful. We've only got just a short time left. What would you like to tell everybody about your book, The Possibility Principle?
Well, the book, although it's based upon science, is not a scientific book. I am a lay person. Probably the best grade I ever got in science was C. So don't be fearful of the aspects of science. They're just some simple principles. There's no math. There's no formula. The book will help you with your self-esteem, overcoming fear, developing a mastery of thinking. If you struggle with anxiety and depression, it's very helpful there. And the last three chapters are all about relationships and new communication strategies. It's a new game plan for living well.
Thanks so much, Mel Schwartz, author of The Possibility Principle. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.